Welcome, my friends. I'm Dave Champion and my illustrious co-host, Bill Carnes, and together we are totally unprepared. Illustrious co-host.
I like that.
You got a promotion.
I'm going to have to look up the definition of illustrious to see if it fits the actual dictionary definition.
51 shows, you got a promotion.
51 shows. I say that because I was listening to the State of the Union address. And
I'm so sorry.
I was listening to it on the radio because I was driving to a Republican Party meeting, in fact. It was funny. But I turned it off after 15 minutes because the redefinition of so many words, like success and success and success, when all of these different things were massive failures. So it was a clinical definition of insanity. So I had to turn it off.
But by the way, I put on Facebook, I put a picture of these really high, like, fishing waders. I said appropriate attire for listening to State of the Union.
There you go.
Speaking of politicians.
Yes, politicians. Bernie Sanders.
Yes.
Who you have not traditionally been totally against.
Correct. And I think that would shock a lot of people who've known my politics over the years that I would not immediately trounce Bernie.
He had
a couple of positions that I favored quite a bit. Ending the war on drugs. Okay. Ending endless wars overseas. Ending for-profit prisons. Okay, these are all things I think must be done, and that was something that he came out part of his platform. And, of course, a lot of people were mocking him because, you know, oh, yeah, free college for everybody. Like, oh, where's that money going to come from? It's not free. You know, my thing is we just spent $6.2 billion.
Trillion.
Was it trillion?
Trillion.
Trillion. Thank you. $6.2 trillion invading two countries that have never done anything to America or Americans. So If we're going to engage in that sort of profligate spending, irresponsible profligate spending, if that is a reality of D.C., let's spend it here to educate our kids.
You know, I would make the assertion that if you're going to spend yourself into bankruptcy, you're going to get as many credit cards as you can and spend yourself into bankruptcy, knowing that that's where you're headed. Mm-hmm. You'd think that you'd buy stuff for yourself and your family.
Yeah.
And not for some stranger down the street or something.
Thank you.
I mean, keep it at home.
Illustrates so beautifully the point.
Which is really what we're doing. I mean, we're borrowing, 60 cents of every dollar that's spent?
Right. Yeah.
We're just, and then
total
we're paying interest on that.
Total lack of integrity. But while I have kept an open mind about Bernie Sanders, that closed Sunday morning during the political talk shows, I didn't watch them. I never watched them. They're boring and dry and stale, but I read his remarks. I watched the video of this portion of his appearance where he said that he believes that unless a weapon is for hunting purposes, it should be illegal in this country. In other words, sporting purposes, he thinks that's a fine application of the Second Amendment. But if it's not sporting, got it, the guns have to be illegal.
We will revisit this exact topic in my rant.
Okay, because my thing is, everybody knows, every swingin' dick knows, what's rule number one of the universe?
What about every swingin' Jane?
Yeah, lips. What is the number one rule of the universe? Survival, right? So when a candidate loses sight of that fact and says, the tools that you use to ensure your survival should you be violently attacked, or, politically speaking, the tools you would use to fight a revolution in the streets to preserve your liberty, I want to make those illegal. I don't care what he says from that moment on. I don't care if he had the best platform ever known to politics. The minute you say those two things, you're done.
It's interesting because these are politicians that would otherwise start to outlaw the black rifles, the AR-15s, AK-40s, things like that. And I've actually hunted with an AR-15.
Of course, but they would say you could have hunted just as well with an old .30-06 bolt action.
So, I could have.
Yeah, right.
I wouldn't have gotten it would have been a heavier rifle and much more cumbersome and quite honestly overpowered the wild goats I was hunting.
It's not your choice what to shoot.
Evidently not.
It's the politician's choice what you will shoot.
Which is not in the 17 enumerated authorities.
Correct.
Not even close.
Last week, you and I talked about the case where those two police officers had approached the man that was in the area you could only be in if you had a child. We went through that whole thing.
In the park, yeah.
Reasonable suspicion. They arrested him because he simply wouldn't talk with them.
Eating a snack pack.
Snack pack. But they had no reasonable suspicion to force him to talk. And you and I know that if you don't have reasonable suspicion, then the contact is consensual. And if the contact is consensual, the guy can do anything from ignore you to stand up and walk away, to flip you the bird, to anything he wants, and you can't do anything. Okay? I took that segment, that clip, and I put it up on the Dave Champion's Liberty page on Facebook. And I've got to tell you, I was appalled, Bill, that on the Dave Champion's Liberty page, a page that exists for liberty, quite a number of people said, well, if he wasn't willing to show ID or talk to them, he should have been arrested.
And here's my question. Under what crime?
Right.
You are not commanded to have show ID. The Supreme Court has actually ruled if you get stopped by police, all you have to give to them, if they have reasonable suspicion, all you have to give to them is your full legal name, and that's it.
Right.
You don't have to give your date of birth, where you live, where you are, where you're going, Social Security number, none of that. Full legal name. That's it.
Right. And the part that got me about this when people were saying, well, if they're not going to give their name and explain what they're doing there, they should be arrested. The part that I don't think – people have become so programmed in this statist world that they were – honestly, they were raised in a statist world, right? I think guys like you and I, we have recognized that and we've said, whoa, hang on. Let me back out of that paradigm.
Right. Okay?
But most Americans are raised – their parents are statists. And they are raised as statists. And I think people who say, I love liberty, in many cases, they're really statists, or they can't get that out of their system. It's still in there somewhere because that's how they were raised. And I don't think they realize when they say, well, then if he didn't answer questions, he should have been arrested. What they're saying is, you're not obeying, you're not legal. You're not following the law. You're not innocent. Unless or until a police officer pronounces you legal, pronounces you innocent.
Yeah. You have to conduct yourself.
What an asinine anti-liberty perspective.
Yeah, as though you need to conduct yourself as someone who can prove to the police that you're okay. That is not the case. When I was in training, one of our TAC officers used to give the mantra regularly that everybody is suspect until they prove you different. And I thought, what an incredibly poor training standard.
That should be illegal as a training mantra. Yeah,
but that's the way a lot of cops are. You know, I, you and I were sharing some stories about some police during lunch, and it's just one of those things where we're very critical of police because we've been in those shoes. Mm-hmm. We can legitimately be critical having worked in that environment. And for others to say, oh, 90%, 99% of cops are good, that is such horse hockey. It's total manure.
I used to reinforce to my officers that everyone is armed until you know otherwise. But that doesn't mean they're a criminal. Okay?
True.
That's an officer safety issue. That's not you're a bad guy. When you approach somebody, even if you have a smile on your face, good to see you today, how are you? Everybody's armed until you know otherwise.
Good to meet you. Oh, I'm sorry.
That is a good mantra for cops to adhere to.
Sure.
That's
a philosophical thing, like
yes.
The four C-drills, treat all guns as if they are loaded. Mm-hmm. Are all guns loaded? No, but if you treat
there
them
you
with
go.
That respect until you know the condition of that gun,
correct.
Treat it with that respect. So you would operate on the streets as though everyone were armed for your own safety.
I've got to tell you, Bill, it's appalling generally, but to find it on the Dave Champion's Liberty page was just super appalling. Stolen Valor Act.
Number one or number two? The first one that was kicked loose by the Supreme Court, or the second one that's making its way through the courts?
That's actually been struck down by a district court now. For the audience who doesn't know, the original Stolen Valor Act was passed in 2007 and signed by George Bush, and then a few years later struck down by the United States Supreme Court as being unconstitutional. You can't criminalize lying, except to government employees. But lying to one another, isn't that the double standard, right? Lying to one another in society should have criminals. By the way, I agree with that. Bill, you've heard me say many times I thought the Stolen Valor Act was a very poor choice. It does not belong in our country. I don't care how much it irks people that other people lie about having been in this in the military or earned that medal or whatnot. I understand that it's irksome, but there's things you don't want the government to be a part of. And when original act made its way through the courts, when it got to the Ninth Circuit, and I was trying to think how to express why I believe it should not be a law, and here's the words from the Ninth Circuit, which I thought, I read it and said, aha, exactly what I've been trying to say. the right to speak and write whatever one chooses, including to some degree worthless, offensive, and demonstrable untruths, without cowering in fear of a powerful government, is, in our view, the essential component of the protection afforded by the First Amendment. I thought, did I say Fifth?
Now, it's interesting that it says worthless, offensive, and demonstrative untruths, which is what I was hearing listening to the
And you talk about
the
tip,
union address here
tip of the iceberg, because the court goes on to say that if you wanted to classify them as crimes, that could, you could classify everyday lies as criminal acts, such as lying about one's age, misinterpreting one's financial status on Facebook, or telling one's mother falsehoods about drinking, smoking, or sex. Okay,
so I just think it's interesting that the Ninth Circuit actually mentioned Facebook in one of their rulings. That's what I think is
funny. It's an excellent point, and one that really was, I think, the core of my being irked about the Stolen Valor Act. We don't want to get in a position where the government starts deciding what lies you're going to be punished for. No. That's a slippery slope we don't want to go down.
It is. And nobody, Dave, myself, nobody supports stolen valor. You don't support some jackass going out there and saying, you know, I was in the military, or I was a 9/11 firefighter when, you know, the guy was in Oklahoma.
I was an Air Force Navy SEAL.
Yeah. And I proved that in Ranger School.
Yeah, right.
You
right.
know, back when I was in NAM. But, you know,
The NAM. When I was in the NAM, yeah.
Nobody supports that kind of thing. But to get to the point where we're allowing the government to define that, because what they'll do is they will change it more and more and more as time goes on.
And I throw you in a cage over it?
Yeah, come on. And not an enumerated authority either.
And if you've ever watched the video, when these guys that are lying about this stuff are caught on video, if you ever watch the videos, they're such knuckleheads. I mean, they've got, like, the medals are on their forehead, you know, and, stuff's hanging off the... You look at them and you go, this guy's trying to tell you he's what? The guy looks like he just escaped from a loony bin.
I saw a guy that was probably 140 pounds overweight wearing a military, a Marine Corps uniform with Ranger tabs and a Navy SEAL trident. I mean, come on.
We can handle this without the government.
Yeah, and we'll be back next segment.
We're back, and now it's time for What is Up with False Headlines? Let me explain to you a phenomenon I've been seeing lately, and this is a result of the internet becoming much more powerful as far as providing information to people, and social media, and companies trying to generate revenue for themselves in that media, because the old traditional ways of generating media are falling apart for them. And what I've seen a lot is that journalistic enterprises are now putting headlines on articles. When you read the article, what they said in the headline doesn't appear in the article. They're creating headlines that are sensationalistic, that they imagine will cause people to click on them. Why do they want them to click on them? They want them to click on them because then when they are trying to appeal to advertisers to advertise on their page, the number of people who are visiting that site is part of the equation on how much advertising money they can seek from their advertisers. So they want, it's just like the dominant television media. They hype stories that don't need to be hyped. They blow them far out of proportion. They keep them going for days or weeks when they really deserve maybe an hour of attention. But then there are always things that will hook you up emotionally because they want you to, you know, go to work and come back and turn it back on to see what's happening with that story. Because the longer you turn in, this, of course, this is verified by Nielsen ratings, the longer people tune in, the more they get advertising money. So the dominant media, television media, sensationalizes stories that, especially when it tugs on people's heartstrings or gets them angry, in order to keep those people coming back. And I think they do all of society a disservice when they do that. They do themselves a service, but I think in many cases they do a disservice to all of society. They're supposed to be providing the news. They're not supposed to be sensationalizing things for their own benefit. Well, they do the same thing in the internet world with these false headlines. Now, I'm not saying every sensationalized headline that you see on the internet is false. But when you click on the story and you read the content of the story, and what is said in the headline appears nowhere in the story, that's when they've sensationalized it. Now, it's bad enough when news agencies do this, and I've got to admit, it's not the big ones. You're not going to see this done by ABC, CBS, MSNBC, CNN. They're not putting up these extravagant headlines that are basically, they're so exaggerated, they're lies. It's the third tier news agencies that are doing that. But then you get people doing things on social media where they take a video and they give a false title to it. There was one just this morning, as a matter of fact. There is a video that I saw. I'm going to guess I first saw this video 2, maybe 3 years ago. And it was a video out of South Africa. And as you're probably aware, there is more than a little strife in South Africa, even today, between whites and blacks. And there was a video of a white guy, and he's being pursued by a group of blacks who are obviously, by their conduct and their attire, they are thugs. And he's obviously a businessman. He's carrying his briefcase, minding the whole thing's being videotaped. So he's minding his own business, and they're harassing him, throwing rocks and bottles, and then they start pursuing him as he's heading up the road. He's walking. And eventually, when the road narrows, he turns around, he sweeps his coat back, and he puts his hand on his gun, and he starts giving them commands. You can't understand what he's saying. He's speaking in whatever language they speak in South Africa. And but from the scene, you can be pretty clear he's saying, if you approach me any further, I'm going to shoot you. One of them has a pipe in his hand. They're very aggressive. They're coming after him. And he stops and turns around. He's got his briefcase out in front of him. He's got his hand on his gun, and he's giving these guys commands. That was out of South Africa, the original footage. And it was later then turned into a French documentary, and French subtitles were put on it. Now, that clip from the French documentary is now being posted on social media with the headline, Muslim refugees attack Frenchmen. Complete and blatant lie. They're not Muslims. It's not France. There's no Frenchmen. It was in South Africa. And I've seen other things like this, and it seems to be getting very, very popular now with the bigots, the Muslim haters. What they'll do is they'll go out to YouTube or some other source, and they'll find a video of someone with dark skin attacking somebody else. Another example I saw was there was 2 black males and 2 black females. And they definitely look, by their hairstyle and clothing styles, they definitely look like it's in America. And they attack a white woman, throw her across a car, beat her, take her purse, throw her on the ground. She tries to get her purse back. They punch her in the face. I mean, it's a pretty violent thing. And of course, there's people walking back and forth who do nothing, another sign that it's America. And the headline on the video was, Muslim refugees attacking European woman. Okay. When you watch the video, it looks much more like the U.S. than Europe. And there is not one, there's nothing, zero in the video that would lead anybody. If you took that, I don't even call it a headline, that lie off the video, and said, who is this doing this? All that somebody watching the video could tell you is, I don't know, 4 black people attacking a white woman? Where is that taking place? No way to know. What religion are the attackers? How would I know? but I notice time and again, these are just some examples that come to mind, but I'm seeing it more and more often that the bigots, the Muslim haters, are taking footage that has nothing to do with, here's another one. When the whole refugee from Syria thing came up, there was a picture. It was all over my news feed on Facebook, and it shows a bunch of men, dark, swarthy men, clearly not in the U.S., coming through these, like, the kind of barricades they use to herd people in some sort of a government building. And it shows them, and it says, these are the refugees. Where are all their women and children, right? Attacking the idea that these refugees are legitimate. Okay. Well, I researched the photograph, and the photograph was not of refugees coming to America or refugees coming to Europe. the still photograph was of a train station in a Middle Eastern country adjacent to a sports stadium, which there was about to be a sporting event. And of course, in Muslim countries, women don't attend sporting events. And so this was a train disgorging all these men from the various areas out in the city and in the outlying portions. It had made its circuit picking up all these men, and this was the station. They were all getting off to go to the soccer event. Okay. But it was portrayed as that it was refugees arriving in Europe with no women and children. Blatant lie and falsehood. Now, I don't see this being done in any other area or any other venue than Islam. I don't see videos being created, lied about, mischaracterized, and spread all over that are falsehoods, blatant lying falsehoods about anything but Islam. And I'm not defending Islam. I'm a non-religious person. I mean, one of the things I find amazing about this condemnation of Islam, I love the statements like, you know, for 1,400 years, they've proved how violent they were. And I laugh. The entire history of the European continent is Europeans at war with one another, killing themselves by the millions for hundreds and hundreds of years. This country in Europe, attacking each other over hundreds of years, millions dead. I never hear anybody say, oh, those evil Christians for murdering millions of people. I don't hear it said. However, then the Turks invade Cyprus. They invade Italy. They take over the Balkan regions. We're going back hundreds and hundreds of years, of course. And people look back at that and they say, look at the evil Muslims who invaded it. So if European Christians kill each other by the millions, it's all, we don't see it, la 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 la. But when Muslims come and take over an area, oh, it's evil. The hypocrisy is absolutely absurd. And I see that by the bigotry going on now, these people who are, and of course, keep in mind, this isn't an oopsie. The people who are putting this together, who take these videos, crime videos committed someplace, and they put the false appellation on them that it's Muslims doing it, may know what they're doing. It's not an accident. That headline didn't just fall on that video. This is the bigotry that a certain kind of person, and I'm only concerned with what goes on in our country, I'm sure there's bigotry all over the world, but this is the bigotry that a certain kind of American exemplifies, and I personally am disgusted by it. Bill?
Me too.
Funny thing is the audience doesn't know all the stuff you've been doing while I've been talking.
No. So
Bill sits back down in his chair and is like, Bill?
Me too. By the way, we need to end 7 seconds before this because I didn't set it properly.
Okay.
With that being said, the idea that people take anything in order to use it as a lie to support their narrative shows a complete lack of any sort of credibility whatsoever.
Integrity.
And those who perpetrate it, some oftentimes unknowingly, it's their fiduciary responsibility to look into it. It really is. I don't like to share stuff. Unless I look at something and I can, yeah, you know, that if it's funny, fine. If it's trying to get to some political end or political means, you know, it's total garbage, it's hogwash. And the people that do that sort of thing, that is the sort of thing where I think people should face some sort of penalty for it. I don't know if it's government-instituted penalty, but maybe some sort of a lawsuit penalty or something along that lines. This is the sort of thing that I just can't say. Maybe just several rapid punches from Mike Tyson right in the face penalty.
Right.
These are the sorts of things that really damage. It's stupidity. It's no integrity. I can't stand this garbage.
You know, and it also shows how weak and worthless their perspective is, that they have to lie to cause others to join them. Whenever anybody starts lying in order to make their bigotry accepted by others or a political position accepted by others, whenever somebody lies, to me it's an instant sign that their position is that weak, that untenable, that unsupportable, that irrational, and that illogical, that they feel compelled to propagate falsehoods to get others to join them.
And this happens in politics all the time, which actually I'm going to address in the next segment in my rant, some proposed thoughts that I've got based exactly on that.
We'll be right back.
Buckle up, it is time for my rant. You know what really grinds my gears? Lying-assed scuzzball politicians and political wannabes. Not too dissimilar from what Dave was just ranting about with people lying and using falsehoods to try to get their way. But when you get somebody who's a politician or a wannabe politician who lies about their own platform, something that they intend to do, want to get done, or even worse, their completely irrational version of a law or the Constitution. We're going to talk right now about Joe Biden. Joe Biden recently said on CNN, he said, what Bernie Sanders has to do is say that the Second Amendment says, which he has of late, the Second Amendment says you can limit who can own a gun, that people who are criminals shouldn't have guns. People who are schizophrenic and have mental illness shouldn't own guns. And he has said that. This is a quote from Crazy Joe Biden. Now, just to let you know, that's total hogwash. For a lot of people, they don't know much about American history. They don't know much about the Constitution. The Constitution is four pages. You get the Bill of Rights, which is about another page, page and a half. And then there's 15 active amendments after that, which are another couple, two or three pages. You got 7 or 8 pages total of the entire U.S. Constitution, and nobody seems to read them. So I'm going to read for you. A lot of people don't know that there are two preambles in the federal Constitution. One is before the actual Constitution. The other preamble is right before the Bill of Rights. And I'm going to read to you just the first paragraph. The convention of a number of the states having at the time of their adopting the Constitution expressed a desire in order to prevent misconduct or abuse of its power, being the federal government, that further declaratory and restrictive clauses should be added. And as extending the ground of public confidence in the government will best ensure the benefits of the beneficiaries ends with its institution. Meaning that we are going to add the Bill of Rights as an area that the government absolutely cannot touch. And the Second Amendment is the only one. If you read the Bill of Rights, 10 amendments, there's roughly 24 rights spelled out in there. There's only one that has a hands-off completely approach to it. And that's the Second Amendment, where it ends with, shall not be infringed. Those four words, shall not be infringed. It doesn't say anything at all about being schizophrenic or having mental issues or anything such as that. You want to talk about schizophrenia and mental people who should not own guns? Well, let's start with Joe Biden. Let's then go up to the office just above his with Barack Obama, who lies about everything. I watched this ridiculous speech that he had about 10 days ago on his executive actions he wanted to carry out on guns, and saying 90% of the American population wants to have total and utter background checks on every gun sale. That's not the case. That's not even close to the case. I don't even know where that lie is perpetrated from. But I know it's total BS. When we have politicians that do this sort of garbage, that's really where I have actually conceived a new amendment to the Constitution that would work in glittering generalities, something along the lines of this. If you are an elected official, if you are an employee of a government institution, if you are a volunteer representative of that institution, department head, whatever, if you are somehow involved in the government and you provide information to any individual member of the general public or the general public at large that is wholly untrue, factually untrue, or only a partial truth meant to get you to believe something in a certain way. And all of this is one form or another of lying. That there should be a very smooth, simple, and easy streamline to convicting you of a crime. And whatever that penalty is lined out, because you are a government agent, again, being elected, appointed, hired, a volunteer on top of whatever, if you're a czar, who knows, that you would serve quadruple the penalty as handed down, including financial. Plus, you would never, ever, ever be allowed to have anything to do with any sort of employment, volunteer, appointment, election whatsoever, and any sort of public office from your local dog catcher on up to POTUS, Supreme Court, nothing. You would have nothing. And if you were in a position where you were deriving any sort of retirement benefits or health benefits or anything such as that, completely voided and vacated. I don't care if it's a job where you could retire after 20 years and at 19 and a half years, you got the conviction. All of that is vacated. Gone. Now, that's my two cents. That's to keep people in public office honest and to keep them from lying, which is all they do with zero repercussions. You know, if I had a job where I held a top secret clearance, and I ended up putting an email server in my own house, and I started conducting business stuff out of my house with that server, with different secret and sensitive communiques on there, I would have expected to have been investigated, arrested, and incarcerated in a very short period of time. But we have that exact scenario with Hillary Clinton. We have her ultimately lying about things that she did and did not do on that server. However, you have the FBI that's come out and proven that she's lied constantly about this. A most recent poll that came out within the last 4 or 5 days has said that 55% of Democrats who were polled and asked if Hillary Clinton was indicted on this, would you still support her? And 55% of them said yes. Really? Truly, more than half of you are actually going to support. Now, imagine this. Let's say that the person who perpetrated this sort of action was, let's say, Marco Rubio, because he's on a Senate Intelligence Committee. Would Marco Rubio be given such a free pass? And would his supporters, would 55% of his supporters say, you know what, we don't care, it's okay, we'll still support him? The answer is no, absolutely not. And honestly, Democrats are held to a different standard than Republicans. They're held to zero standard whatsoever. The idea that Hillary Clinton will be prosecuted by the federal government is very, very unlikely, and I'll tell you why. She's a Democrat, she's a presidential candidate. Now, some of you might say that what I'm about to give out as information to you is pure BS. Well, it's a little bit of speculation, but it's based on a whole bunch of facts. When the Bilderberg Group met in June of 2008, that's when they decided, when Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama both attended, how this was going to go. Barack, you are going to sail on and be the nominee. Hillary, you've got to take a back seat. You saw that she backed off after that weekend. And you're going to get pushed through in 2016. So there she is. This is her time. This is where she's been anointed to do this by those who actually tell the politicians what to do. There's a couple of families out there. There's a couple of groups out there. There's about seven families who have really run this country over the years and other organizations that work with them that really call a lot of the shots. All these massive business people, all this huge money and banking and influence. These are the guys that are really calling the shots. You end up now with Hillary, who's going to sail on. If she's going to get prosecuted, it has to be through the executive branch of the government, through the Department of Justice. Well, who runs that? Loretta Lynch. Who does she work for? Barack Obama. And if he says, you're not going to prosecute this, it's not going to get prosecuted. And if Hillary were to win, she certainly isn't going to get prosecuted. She'd have to then be impeached by the House. The House has yet to try to impeach Barack Obama, who has violated the Constitution in so many ways it boggles the mind. And they don't have the cojones to actually try to put him through any sort of impeachment. When you get Bill Clinton, who lied about receiving oral sex in the Oval Office, or the Oral Office, I think it's called now, because of that, he was impeached because of moral statutes, moral standards, as opposed to actually violating the Constitution up one side and down the other. Dave, what do you think about this, man?
I don't see really getting a Hummer as an impeachable offense.
Why would it be?
Yeah. You know, it's funny because politicians look at things completely different than the rest of the real world. Politicians, especially career politicians that have been in Washington for a decade or more, they have such a skewed, warped perspective on, they live in a bubble. And all the other 320 million of us are not in that bubble. And Hillary Clinton is in the bubble. And there's an expression that we use a lot, which is, it's a big club and you're not in it. And that's nowhere more true than it is with the politicians in D.C. It's a big club. It's 335 schmucks up on the Hill. It's most of the people in the executive branch. It's a whole lot of the judiciary. And so you pose the question, well, what are the odds that Hillary is going to be indicted? My thoughts are similar to yours, although there is clearly, on this email issue, there is clearly now enough evidence for an indictment. And here's the most offensive part of the whole thing. If it was me or Bill, okay, me or you, we'd be rotting in prison by now.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. But because Hillary is in that big club that we're not a part of, and the ethos there to me seems to be, well, yeah, well, really shouldn't have done that, buddy, but we're all in the same club, man. I wouldn't do you like that. I mean, I know you went out and you killed an 18-month-old baby on camera, but hey, we're all part of the same club. I got to have your back. You got to have my back because it's us against 320 million Americans.
We're holding all the cards.
Yeah, and it seems a bit extremist to say that, you know, especially the way I characterize it, but that appears to be the ethos in D.C. If you're in D.C. and you're notable, because they'll cut their subordinates' throat in a heartbeat. I mean, look at Scooter Libby, right? He got convicted of removing documents from the National Archive mm-hmm. on command from who? Was it Dick Cheney? I forget mm-hmm. who. And then what happened? He had his sentence commuted. And Dick Cheney was infuriated with Bush, infuriated, because Bush refused to completely pardon him. So that's still the misdemeanor is still on his record.
I think I'm going to coin a term called planet politics.
Okay.
And that would be the guys that are on the planet of politics in D.C. and around
and not on our planet.
Not on our planet. And we'll be right back in segment four. Welcome back. Segment four, where we go through your viewer emails, which you can send to us right here at daveandbillshow@gmail.com. Send us your thoughts, your insights, you know, how great you think we are. That's always nice to hear. We get at least three or four of those.
Handsome, intelligent, debonair,
a year.
Suave, yes.
Three or four of those a year, at least. Some of them I read twice. So
sent by
keep
our
them coming.
Sent by our family members.
Yes. And then also you can go online and see all of our shows at totallyunprepared.info. That's where we have all of the archives and links to all the shows, audio, videos, all that good stuff. So last week we had promised to come back and talk about some of the other school waste that we're aware of happens in the state of Nevada. And this is all perpetrated by this $1.5 billion tax increase that's supposed to be for the children. And we just wanted to hit some of the examples that we actually have.
Yeah.
Not the least of which are these resource classes, used to be called special ed classes, mm-hmm. which are resource. You have children that are legitimately beyond the capability to learn in some of these, not all of these classes, but some of them are like specialty resource classes. Mm-hmm. We have kids who can't recognize one color or another unless, you know, they're coached through good. Then they go eat a snack and they come back and they can't do it again. So it's basically becomes daycare for the parents to have a break. But they actually try to graduate these kids through. And you oftentimes have more staff than you do these yeah. students.
When I was in school, back in the days of the horse and buggy, special ed meant a couple of things. You were a troublemaker, or you were a little slow.
Yep.
That was it.
Right.
Okay. Today, and I don't want to get into the exact verbiage that the schools use because I'm not familiar with what state law mandates they use, you know. But today in Nevada public schools, there are children in high school who cannot tell you their names.
Yeah, and that's due to total mental incapacity. It
right.
is something obviously they're born with or something is happening.
Oh, yes.
They don't have the ability.
Right.
And there's nothing that anybody can do to fix that.
No, they are severely mentally damaged.
Okay.
And my issue is this. The purpose of the public schools is, in my view, one thing. That is, some people don't even believe in public schools. Okay. And I would rather see it done differently, but it is what it is, right? The purpose of the public schools is so that we have a citizenry that has a base level of education. If not for that goal, the public schools can go away. Okay? So anything that does not comport itself with that goal should not be a part of the system. So when you have a 16-year-old human being who legitimately, because of their disability, does not know their own name, does not know where they are, they're 16 years old, they have no idea that this is the color silver. They have no idea what 2 + 2 equals. Okay. Why are they there on the taxpayer dime? And what happens is these classes tend to be small. We'll say, for the sake of argument, we'll throw out a number, say 5. They'll have a teacher, 5 of these kids, and they'll have 3 or 4 other staff members in one classroom. Statewide, this has got to cost millions and millions and millions of dollars to produce Bubkiss advantage for society.
Yeah, so let's say that you have those 5 staff members
yeah.
who otherwise, at the same rate of pay, could be 5 individual teachers teaching a class of 30, 35 students.
Sure. Now, some of those are not full-fledged teachers. They're various assisting type of people.
Sure.
But you're still paying them, right? And again, statewide, this has got to be millions and millions of dollars to educate children who have no natural, because of their disability, no ability to be educated. I was talking to a teacher about this, and she said, yes, but the state demands that every child get an education. I said, whoa. The state law demands every child get, the very phrase, get an education, implies the ability to receive it. We wouldn't suggest that we take this mug and send it to school and educate it.
Okay.
Because we know the mug cannot receive any education.
It's a liberal mug anyhow. It's a Starbucks.
That's right. Get rid of that. But these kids, literally, their ability to, if you're 16 years old and you have not been able to receive the 2 + 2 = 4, you're done.
Yeah.
Why are they there? Another thing, here in Nye County, they recently changed preschool, right? Now, preschool in my day, it was like 2.5, 3 hours.
Yeah.
Right? And that's what it was here. But they've since changed preschool to make it day-long preschool. Now,
mm-hmm.
you know you have kids. A like 5 or 6 or 8 hour preschool is too long for everyone, staff and kids, right? What they've done is they've changed this preschool, which I think about 3 hours is right. But let's say somebody said 2.5 hours or stretched it to 4 hours. I think we can all work with that. But a full-day preschool is nothing but a pretext for taxpayer-supported daycare.
State daycare, yeah. You know who the largest daycare provider...
Let me just say one more thing. I understand that parents need daycare in cases. And I understand that perhaps it behooves a community to find a way to accomplish that. But subterfuge is not the way.
I would agree.
Calling it day-long daycare, which gives you the idea of preschool, that should... No, the kids are exhausted. They don't learn anything. It's just a holding tank.
Yeah, it is.
Don't lie. Just say, we're going to take some money. We're going to create a preschool daycare.
You know who the largest daycare provider in the entire United States is?
I do not.
The U.S. Army.
Really?
With that being said, let's talk about this politician in Texas and cop filming.
this guy?
He wants a state law.
Yeah.
He says it's illegal to film a cop.
Yes. Talk about going in the exact opposite wrong direction.
Yeah. Now, is he serious? Is he just pandering to get the endorsement of the police union?
Oh, no.
I mean,
no.
What is with this?
You got to hear his justification. He was a cop years ago.
Well, that helps explain it.
Down in Tennessee. Okay. And he was making an arrest of some...
Buddy.
No, he was making an arrest of some, like, a musical guy. I can't remember his name, but you would recognize the name if I... And he said some people started to approach him, and so he turned his attention from his suspect to the people to keep an eye on them. And he said somebody told him the next day that his arrestee had dumped a little packet of heroin while he was looking the other way. And he said, that singular incident tells me that cops cannot be distracted when they're doing their job. Okay. Now,
if somebody was filming him, they would have caught that. They would have the video. There you go.
Right. But my thing is, we do not live in a perfect world. Okay. Now, he says he sets some limit, 20 or 30 feet, something like that. You can't be any closer than that. Okay. And he talks about the fact that most of these phones, you can zoom in. You know, I get that. And I probably don't want to be any closer than 20 feet to an officer who's conducting his business.
Right.
I want him to have that safety buffer. But that's not always the case. I mean, there was one I remember from Louisiana, New Orleans, where there was a group of young people out in front of a club, and the cops went thrusting themselves into this crowd of about 32 young people to get the person that they wanted to get. And they started beating the bejesus out of this guy, and he wasn't resisting. They took him to the ground, he went to the ground, and then they just start giving him a butt whooping, right? There was no place to film from. I mean, and here's the crazy thing about this guy's legislation. You're a cop. You're doing your job. I'm standing right here. Not a violation of his proposed law. If I continue to stand here, but I reach down into my pocket and I start doing this, now I go to jail.
What about if you're filming him for yourself and it's a car stop? Obviously, the difference is between where you're sitting, the door, and where the cop is standing. And you could have your camera literally right here filming things.
Right. And I gave the example from New Orleans because any one of those people in that crowd that pulled out their phone would have been in violation of this guy's law. And all of this, you know, and
this is a guy who's part of the problem.
Right. And I did a rant last week about the reason that society is seeing the law enforcement community so differently is because of these videos. So I'm sorry, I don't buy his excuse about this guy dropping a little dime bag of heroin. I think what he's trying to do is he's trying to make sure that people feel intimidated because, you know, if you tell the cops that they can arrest somebody that's 20 feet, filming within 20 feet of them, what is that going to translate to in practical terms for cops on the street?
50 feet.
That's right. No. He was within 20 feet, yeah. Right? You can't measure those things, right? And so it's going to create an environment where people feel they cannot film lest they go to jail. It will have a chilling effect on filming cops.
It's a huge step backwards. You know, most police departments that have gone to body cams on their officers have seen a dramatic reduction and expenses and problems because the cops are conducting themselves above board. And anybody who would file a false report against a police officer because they hate cops, which happens. It happens legitimately.
Sure.
Cops are not screwing up, but somebody files a complaint against
them. Happens all the time.
Yeah. The body cams
vindicate the officer.
Absolutely vindicate that. So the cops want to have those. The people want to have it. The people want to have it to keep the cops honest, and the cops should want to have it to keep the people honest.
Yes.
It works all the way around. So there was one more thing. We got just a minute or so to get to it
that
came in on the email.
What was that?
It's on your phone. I don't know. Look it up real quick, man.
You're going to make me do this.
I'm going to make you do that. Look at that.
Put my
whatever it was
in
pretty
public,
cool.
You rat bastard. We're going to run out of time while I'm trying to find this. Inbox.
What a great way to end the show.
The guys, the Canadian who's in this country.
He's a Canadian citizen. He moves to the U.S. several years ago.
Yep.
And he's interested in liberty. And he sees where everybody in America, for the most part, as long as their version of liberty is protected, they're willing to allow and even in some cases encourage their politicians to try to pass laws against other liberty that they don't agree with.
Yeah. His characterization was, I've been down here for a number of years now, and it seems to me that all these people who talk about liberty, what they're really doing is they're just talking while they're ginning up 51% of support in the legislature to pass a law to stop the other guy from doing something they don't like. He says, how is that a land of liberty? I thought that was an amazing perspective from somebody and not from our country.
You know, it's interesting when in Nevada, the legislature and the governor signed in this massive tax, which was in a different form, but essentially very, very similar, that was beaten on the ballot just a couple of months before that by 79-point-something percent of the voters. They pass it anyhow. Now there's a petition to repeal it going around the state, and the governor's people have been trying to stop it at the courts.
Oh.
Amazing.
And we'll be back next week. Take care.
Bye-bye. Have a good week.